You check Facebook this morning when you guys get up?
No?
You don't have Facebook? Like, really? Okay. Do you have, like, any social media at all? Did you, like, I got up and I asked Siri right away. I was like, who won? I didn't want to stay up late last night. Like, if you got on Facebook at all, it was absolutely insane, the things that were going on. It was such craziness. People are like, let me show you just some of this stuff. A couple of these things that I found on Facebook when I was, like, Googling through this morning. It's like, I don't even want to see this. This is just crazy. Like, yeah, I saw that. I mean, you know who this joker is? Yeah, right, Donald Trump, right? What else do we have? I found a couple other things. Yeah, 4 years, a lot more could change. All sorts of stuff about Trump. And then I found this one. This one was pretty funny. Somebody posted here, how to move to Canada and become a Canadian citizen. Sweet, okay, right? Somebody told me just a few minutes ago that, like, the website or whatever for, like, becoming a Canadian citizen actually crashed because people wanted to, like, move to Canada. It's so crazy. I woke up to craziness. And then I found this one. This one was pretty funny. It's the Queen of England, right? And she says, she offers to, like, restore us to British rule. She'll come rule us if we want because we don't know how to do it. I was like, that's funny. It was nuts. Like, everybody, I was kind of, like, I'm not going to wait all night long to find out this whole deal. I just wanted to go to bed. Because it's been crazy enough this whole time, like, finding out who's going to be president. But everybody kind of wanted the news. Any of you guys watch a little bit last night while the race was going and, like, the states are coming in and they're reporting and the map's starting to fill out and that whole deal? Just like one of you. That's great. One of you cares about our country. That's awesome. I'm just kidding. No, I don't blame you. A lot of people were. Like, all my friends were up and they're just, like, watching, waiting. There was, like, even this, like, election party last night. People got together and were, like, watching because we wanted the news. We wanted to hear what was going to go on, the results, to find out. And most people weren't, like, excited necessarily to find out either way, but they wanted the news. Have you ever, like, been waiting on news? Some of you seniors, you've, like, already sent out your college applications and you're waiting for, like, Harvard to, like, send you back and be like, you're accepted. Come be in Harvard. And no, nobody's done that, but probably there's some colleges you want to go to and you're waiting for the news to arrive. And it's hopefully good news, right? You don't want that refusal letter, from that college. So anyway, I was thinking about news and I was like, man, do you remember when NASA did this really, really cool thing? They put a man on the moon. Did you know that? You guys, like, aren't pumped about that? So, like, super excited. Let me show you a video of how excited NASA gets when they do something awesome. Just check this video out. This is what they do.
Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars.
Very awesome rover.
A little bit of a difference. You can cut it now if somebody can. Like, there's a little bit of a difference from when I told you guys, hey, guess what? Like, NASA landed on the moon, right? And then, like, when they find out, when something actually happens, that was actually the Mars rover had just landed on Mars. And so those people are so pumped. You see how excited? That was actual footage from inside when that deal, like, landed. And they first got the news, we're there, we made it. And they're like, ah! Like, if you were watching some of the news last night, as the reports came in from different states, they were showing the parties, like the Democratic and then, like, the Republican. When they'd hear good news, they would just, like, scream and go crazy and hold their signs up. There's something about really good news that makes us excited. But there's something about news that's really good, but we've heard it a whole bunch of times that makes me go, hey, NASA's landed on the moon, and we all just sit there and go, yeah, I know, I heard that like 100 times. Right? Because you've heard it a bunch of times. And since we've heard it a bunch of times, it's not like we're going to jump up and scream every single time because it's so exciting. But here's what I want us to press into a little bit tonight, because we just studied a whole series on the resurrection of Jesus, and we got pretty deep with it. And we talked about all the different parts of the coolness of the fact that Jesus raised from the dead and is actually alive today. But I don't want it to just be this thing where we studied it and we know all about it and the theology behind it and all that cool stuff. But we never actually get excited about the fact that that's the best news we're ever going to hear in all of eternity. You see, if we hear over and over from our pastors and our leaders that Jesus rose from the dead, and we hear the gospel that he did it for you so that you can live forever and be forgiven. Sometimes you're like, yeah, I know, I heard that. Like, Zach's told me every single week in my life group, Rob. I know. But see, the thing about the gospel is, it shouldn't ever get old to us. The fact that our Savior, our King, died for us and rose from the dead so you won't spend eternity in hell, so you can be with your God forever and be forgiven, should every single time you hear that be received on a soft heart that says, holy cow, like, I don't deserve that. That is the best news I've ever heard. And the response should feel more like that in our hearts. And it's not like we're going to jump up and be emotional every time. That's not what I'm getting at. But there should be a thankfulness in us and a joy that overwhelms when we know that our Savior, our God, did that for us. Like, it's really good news. And the second it stops being really good news, we lose the power of what the gospel can do in our lives. We're just going to church. We're just going through the motions. We're just talking about it. We're not living the fact that we believe this with all of our hearts so much that it makes us jump up and down and say, holy cow, God, thank you. Thank you for doing this for me. And all of a sudden, the gospel, when that happens in your heart, becomes the thing that navigates your whole life. Like, your decisions are based now on the gospel, because it's like, I love it so much. It's such great news. The choices I make, where I go to college, where I apply, the way I talk to my friends, how I behave at home with my family, what I study in school, the sports that I play, the people I talk to, everything about my life just needs to be about this because it's the best news I've ever heard. And your life changes. It looks different. And you go down a different path because now you're following that great news. Instead of all the junk news that keeps getting tossed your way, that flashes real quick and you look and you're like, that's awesome! It's gone. And done last. And you're left looking for something else. And you're empty. And then you look for another. Oh, there's another flash! Yes! And then it's gone and you're empty again. But see, the thing about the gospel is that every time we hear it, it's good for us. Every time you hear it, it's still good for you. It's still saving you every day when you wake up. It's saving you right now as you sit here. It's alive and active and powerful in you because it's a person, and His name is Jesus, and He's doing that for you right now as you sit here. See, the news doesn't get old because it's always happening. It's up to date. It's right now. Jesus is doing that right now for you. That's news right now for you. He didn't do for you right now what He had done for you in the past. It's brand new. And tomorrow it's going to be brand new too when you wake up. He's going to keep doing that for all of eternity because He loves you that much. It's that big of a gift that He's given you. And it's heartbreaking to look around, especially our country, and see churches and youth groups full of kids who are just like, yeah, cool, my pastor talks about it all the time. I want you guys to get it. I want you guys to understand just how big this thing is. It's not just a cool talk that we do. It's not because I like to tell stories about dumb things I do in my life. It's because we need to understand this incredible news that never gets old. Because if you miss that, you've missed everything. Nothing else is going to last you. And so tonight, I just wanted to point us at that. I wanted us to take a few minutes. We're not going to spend a ton of time doing this. But I just want us to look together at John 3:16. You guys know that verse, don't you? It's a pretty common verse that a lot of people know. But it's also such a beautiful example of the gospel in just a short verse. And so most of you guys memorize this when you're... Some of you guys memorize this in other languages. I've heard you like say it in French and Spanish because you have to do it in class. But it's such an awesome verse. If we stop and slow down and read the words and just drink in what Jesus did for us. So read it with me. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not sneeze." No, they can still sneeze, or not perish, but have eternal life. So, obviously, bless you, by the way. Obviously, this verse starts off, those first two words are pretty big. It's pretty important because it's the one who's doing all of it. The whole deal. It says it right away, for God. See, God is driving this thing in us. This gospel, this good news that we keep talking about. You know who does it? It's God. NASA does some awesome stuff, right? NASA blows my mind. I love to Google stuff and YouTube stuff from things that NASA's doing. It's just absolutely incredible how intelligent they are and how awesome the things are that they're doing. But that's nothing. It's literally nothing compared to what God's doing. Got your attention? You okay? Okay, good. Okay. Just hold the nose. So he starts off, John's writing this, right? And John starts off and he says, for God, because God drives this gospel. None of you guys can do that. You know that? We're trying real hard. Do you know that when they asked Donald Trump, they were interviewing him, and at one point he actually said that he didn't need to ask God for forgiveness for anything. He didn't feel like he needed to do that. Hillary Clinton has said something very similar. So we have some of the most powerful people on the planet, and they don't think they need forgiveness from God. They don't think they need God in any way. Oh, this verse right here says that God does the whole deal. For God. There's nobody else who can come down and save you. There's nobody else who can create the universe. There's nobody else who can hold and sustain this universe like Hebrews tells us Jesus does. Together, he's got to do the whole entire deal. And so God says, listen, I'm creating everything. There's only one of me. I'm holy. I'm perfect. I'm all-knowing. I'm all-good. I'm everywhere. I'm eternal. I'm infinite. And I want to make people. I want to make this gorgeous universe, this creation. And so God says, I'm going to make this. And boom, he creates and sustains this incredible universe. We don't even know where the ends are. We can't even barely look outside our galaxy. God's created and holding all this stuff together, and he's the one responsible for the whole thing. And we go to him and we say, listen, I'd rather just be me. Give me the apple. And we rebel. You guys know in the book of Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve. I don't need to retell you that. And that same rebellious spirit in us that says, God, I'd rather be me. I don't want to be accountable to you. I don't need to ask you forgiveness. I don't need you for anything. That same I'll do it myself mentality exists in us. And so we've rebelled and we have sin in us. And God's like, man, we're broken now. Like, you've broken our relationship. I created you. I give you this perfect, perfect universe to live in. I put you in charge of it. And then you rebelled against me? You walk away saying you don't need me? And you walked right out of the perfect relationship that you had and you broke yourself. And then we were cursed. And now we have this thing called sin that keeps us separated from God in that perfect relationship that we had from before. And each of us are destined to a place called hell, which is wrath forever from God. It's punishment because we're rebellious against an infinite king of the entire universe. It's all his. It's all his. And every single one of us is strong and as powerful as we feel like we can do this whole thing on our own. And God, I don't need you. And God, I don't need to ask you for forgiveness for anything. He's like, this is laughable. Titus was sharing something this morning in a prayer meeting. And talked about how God was looking down at the rebellious peoples of the world. And he just laughed. He just laughed because as we rebel, we think we're something special. And God's like, I own you. I'm keeping the breath in your lungs. If I stop thinking about you, you disappear. This is laughable that you would rebel against me. Like, I'm the very one keeping you blinking and alive. And he laughs. Because it is kind of funny if you think about it. But I can tell you something. That's my heart sometimes. Yeah, Pastor Rob, sometimes I have that same heart of rebellion. It's like, God, I'll do this myself. God, I don't want to ask forgiveness for that. And he's looking down going, man, this is laughable. You need me. You can't exist without me. And so God created this whole thing. He started it all. It's God who's the actor here. And it says in Romans 3:22, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so when Adam did that, all of us have done that. Every single one of us have sinned. So you're sitting here and oh, I'm good. No, you're not. How do you know that, Rob? You don't know me. No, I don't need to. God does. He said it about you. It's right here. You're in the Bible. Did you know that? For all have sinned. You're included in that all. You're in the Bible. Romans 3:23. Your name's included in that all right there, written down. You and I have sinned, every single one of us, and we all fall short of God's glory, so we can't be good with Him. But it didn't stop there, right? For God so loved. See, if He was just this big, like, tyrant God, like a lot of people try to make Him out to be, they point at churches and pastors, like, how are you preaching about the Bible? That evil God you guys serve, I don't believe in that stuff, because they think God's like this horrible thing. It says God is love. He so loved. If you take that phrase and you say it just kind of like naturally, it says, for this is how God loved the world. Or this is how much God loved the world. That's what John's trying to get across here. This is how much God loves you. Are you ready? Because it's about to blow your mind, because it's not just this little emotional thing where God's like, oh, I really like you. And then you're like mean to Him, or you like lie, or you sin. He's like, oh, I'm so mad at you, I'm not going to talk to you. Like, that's not God. He's not this crazy emotional little kid up in like the clouds, like upset with you every time you mess up. God's love is this incredible, persistent, fierce, constant thing that chases you. It says He pursues you. You sin and you mess up and He's right there and He's right on your heels all the time. And He's like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. I'm going to come down from heaven and walk like you as a man. And I'm going to be crucified on a cross and die for you. That's how much I love you. And I'm not letting you go. That's how much God loves us. For this is how much God loves us. Romans 5:8 tells us clearly, but God shows His love that we're talking about for us in that while we were still sinners. We use this verse all the time in here, don't we? We're just so aware of what a sinner I am and how much I need God because I'm broken. This verse keeps coming in my head. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much God loves you. I'm not up here tonight going, hey, listen, you need to become this perfect person. I know you cheated on your homework. You need to go home and you need to like just apologize to everybody. Apologize to your teachers and your family and apologize to just make everything right and stop and you can never, ever cheat ever again. And once you do that, God's going to look down and be like, whoa, look at Jordan. He stopped cheating. He's such a perfect example. And so now I love you, Jordan, because now you've cleaned your act up. That's not God. It's not what God does. He looked down and said, Jordan, you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and you sin all the time, and you don't deserve me, but I love you. I saw you cheat yesterday, that test. I saw the way you treated your friends, the way you talked back to your parents, and the things you were doing when you thought no one was looking. I saw that, because I'm God. You know, I made everything. But I love you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to become some nun or some monk, and all of a sudden God, now He has favor. No, He says, I love you exactly how you are in the middle of your stink and your sin. I love you just like that. So much. So much. Check this part out. He says that Christ died for us. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is because it's easy to say I love you. But how many people die for you? This was the God of all creation who's totally perfect come down to become a man and then die for human beings. It's like you dying for an ant. Ants crossing the road, you jump out in front of the car so the ant doesn't get squished and you die. Like, why would a human ever give their life for an ant? That makes no sense to me. Well, that's exactly, even more so, it's absurd that God would do that for us. But it says He loved us that much. Plain and simple, that's just it. He loves you that much that He died for you. So it says, for God so loved, and that's a big word, love there, the world. That word, the world, is the word cosmos. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Cosmos, what does that sound like in English? Cosmic, like cosmic powers, like huge, big, like the universe, everything. That's exactly what that means. It doesn't just mean the world there, but the word cosmos refers to all of creation, like the universe. It's this huge thing. Basically, in this context, every last person who's ever lived and ever will live, God loves them with this kind of love. His entire heart is full of love to the point where He will die for every person because you were made in His image. But I'm a sinner, but you were made in His image. But I mess up all the time and I rebel. But you were made in His image. And so when He looks at you, He sees His image on you. You know that you're the only thing in all of creation, the only creature, the only created thing that can appreciate the beauty of God and declare the beauty of God. You look at someone who paints beautiful artwork. How many animals do you see painting art? Creating music. Appreciating beauty. Looking at a sunset in awe and just having no words because of how beautiful it is. You see, God has created human beings to appreciate His glory and His beauty and to declare it. You say, Jesus, the most beautiful thing about this whole thing is that You died for me, that You beat death, that You've given me life. That is the most beautiful thing You've ever done. And so I appreciate that and I take that and I declare that to other people because they need to know this thing. It's such good news. And so He loved the entire world. That He gave, it says, and I get caught up there because it's like, wait, who gave? Jordan, because he's a liar? Because he cheated on his homework? That guy? No. He probably should, because if he lied, then he should probably make up for that, right? That's how our system works. If Kyle messes up, punches me, I should get to punch him back. Eye for an eye. That's just how it works. You pay off your debts. That's not who it says there. He gave. Well, why would God give? What does God have? He didn't do anything wrong. He's got no debt. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He made this whole thing. He keeps this whole thing together. So who does He owe? It's all His already. The deed is in His hand. God owns the whole universe. Why would God come down and give anything at all when He owns it? But yet He was the one who said, there's a huge debt. There's a brokenness. And because He owns the whole thing, guess what you actually have to give? Nothing. It's all His. What are you going to give Him that He doesn't already have? How are you going to go to an almighty, eternal, infinite God who created the entire universe and sustains it and go, here you go, this is my payment for my sin. Now we're good, right, God? He's going to be like, that's already mine, bro. Don't you have anything new down there? You have nothing for me. And so you know who has to give? He does. And He says, even though I shouldn't, I do. And you stop and you go, that doesn't make sense. But you have to go back to the word before it. He loved. It's His love that drives Him to give when He shouldn't be giving. He didn't deserve that. He deserves to be in a throne, not dying on a cross. But yet He is the one who gave. Oh, God gave because I couldn't. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That resurrection that bought us life, we've studied for like 8 weeks. But that resurrection is this gift. It's what He gave. The thing that we could never get ourselves and we could never attain, that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton think they don't need, is the very thing that only Jesus Christ, God Himself, can give us. Because we'll never get it on our own. We could try our whole lives. We can become the most powerful people on the planet and we will still die alone and sad and spend eternity in hell. Because we've missed the free gift that God is going, please take it. So many people get upset with Him like, I don't even like to talk about that place called hell. Like pastors that talk about hell, man, they just have nothing good to say. Hellfire and brimstone, that's all they're going to preach. And they make everybody feel uncomfortable and try to guilt people into getting into their religion. But Jesus talks about hell. Jesus Himself did this so we don't go to hell. This God that they want to paint to be so horrible is the same one saying, no, listen. I know hell's bad. I don't want you to go there. I'm going to go to the cross and die so you don't have to. And it's totally free if you trust in me. I'm doing everything possible that you can't do so you don't have to go there. But some of us won't listen and we won't believe and we will end up there. Separated for eternity from our God. So don't tell me I can't talk about hell. Because I don't want one of you to go there. And that's news I have to give you. I don't like talking about it. It's uncomfortable for me too. I hate that place. And that's why we talk about it. Because I don't want you going to hell. Neither does God. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for you and to give you life. Because He loved the whole world, He sent, He gave His only Son, and that's what we're up to Jesus. I mean, that's a big gift, right? Like, the fact that God's giving blows my mind, period, because He really shouldn't be. But then on top of that, He gives His only. Like, have you ever had like one thing and you really love that thing? And I always associate everything to food, so I'm on one slice of pizza. Big, delicious slice of pizza. And that friend that you have that's kind of like always like a mooch, that comes up, is like, hey, what you got there? You know how they do that? They just happen to like, hey, I see you get a little slice of pizza. You're like, don't even, bro. Just walk. Just keep walking. You ain't getting this pizza. It's my only slice. And then you're like, am I going to be a good Christian and give him a slice? Or am I just be like, no. In one bite, it's gone. I can do it. I know I can do it. You know? It's that one gift that you have, that one thing, and it's so hard because it's your only one. That blows my mind that this is God's only Son. He shouldn't be giving, but on top of that, it's His only, and it's His Son. This isn't a slice of pizza we're talking about. This isn't even a house, or even a, like, this is His Son. That's how much does God love us? To give His only Son so that we could have life. None of this makes sense. God, You shouldn't have done any of this. But I love that. Because the more it blows in my mind, the bigger that means His love is. It's so big I can't even understand it. Tell you what, I don't love that way. I'd love to be able to. I wish I loved you guys that much. I do. I wish I loved my family that much. But I can't. Like, I'm not capable of that. That blows my mind that God would love us that much. And that part of it is what, when I hear this, causes me to go, holy cow, this is awesome. This is good news. It makes it fresh to me every time because that's mind-blowing. Cool, a guy landed on the moon. That's awesome. God gave everything so I could live for eternity with Him. It's so much bigger. He gave His only Son that whoever... We get to park there for a second. Because that word whoever is pretty big, and a lot of us don't even believe that. He's actually saying whoever. Like me. Really, like God. Do you know I don't even care about you? Like God, I came to Firehouse tonight just because, like, I had to, or I had some friends bring me, or I've been coming for a long time, I don't have anywhere else to go. But I don't love you, like I'm just here. God, me. Here's another place your name's in the Bible. Did you know that? It doesn't matter what reason why you came. It doesn't matter what reason why you go to church or whatever else you do, your name's right here, that whoever, your name's in that. You're in the Bible, you made it. Whoever is a big word. Because that includes you. As you and I sit here tonight, we are the whoever that He died for. It's like written directly to Kyle and Zach and me and all you guys. This is the whoever. The sinners, the broken people. A lot of people are like, I'm not going to church. All those people, they're all sinners. Well, duh. You're just figuring that out? Really? Like, that's laughable because guess what? We know that. I hope so. If not, like, I should know that because that would freak me out. There's a bunch of angels walking around me. This is crazy. Like, yes, we're sinners. The church is made up of broken people who are sinful. I don't know who told you differently. They were wrong. Because the Bible says that we're broken, sinful people and we came to this place because we're broken and sinful. And God looked at us with compassion and love and said, I want to save you, broken, sinful people. So if you're here tonight, you're like, I'm sinful, God can't love me. Of course He can. You're part of the whoever. Every last one of us in here is part of that whoever. those that were spitting on God, that were sinning when he looked at us in our sin and said, I still love you the way you are, that whoever, that's us. So you don't go, I'm giving up on church because everybody's a hypocrite, everybody's a sinner, everybody's whatever. I've been there, I've done that, I've said those things, believe me, y'all. And then I realize, of course we are. That's what it came for. It came to seek and save what? The lost. That's who we are. So we're going to find some sinners in here, but here's the cool part. He died for all of us. He came to the right place. Because here we're going to talk about a God who loves you so much, he'll send his only son to die for whoever. That's you. That's you. That's me tonight. We're the whoever Jesus died for. And here's what he says. Our part in this deal is all we have to do. I shouldn't say all. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We have to believe. Whoever believes. This is more than just saying, yeah, that sounds really good. Or I'm going to say this prayer and repeat it after my pastor because he talked about like this crazy like story and it made me all like, just really scared about what's going to happen when I die. And so I'm going to just repeat this prayer real quick and I'm going to be good. And then we forget it. Like it's like insurance. It's like, yeah, it's there. I'll have it when I need it, whatever. But it's not good news to us. So if I ask you like, hey, has Jesus saved you? Like, yeah, cool. It's my insurance policy. You know how I know when someone really, really gets it? Because when you ask them, hey, has Jesus saved you? Their just face like lights up. Like, this is actually stinking good news. Yes! Like, I'm saved. God did this. I'm the whoever. Like, I don't deserve this. This is so incredible. And you're like, bro, calm down. You're freaking me out. Like, yeah, I get it. But it's good news to them. So often we look at it like this like insurance that we have so we don't have to go to hell. But there's no belief in our heart. There's no trust. You see, the belief Jesus was talking about, we can see in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let me read you these verses. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and a lot of us, like church people, have done that part. Lord Jesus, come stay in my heart, you know, whatever. We confess with our mouth. That's an important part, but it's not the whole part, and we stop there. It's just mouth. It's just like talk. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You believe that part's real. I'm believing in you. You will be saved, it says. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You see, there's a two-part deal. You see it, you believe it, and you proclaim it. There's actually three parts, I guess. Right? Now, the faith, that believing, isn't just, okay, cool, like this is a cool thing. It looks like me saying, God, you got my whole life. If it's true that you rose from the dead, take it all. I don't want to hold any of this. I'm going to break this stuff if I hold it. You need, take all of me. God, I surrender my heart and my life. I surrender the whole deal to you. So we believe not just in something, because a lot of people believe in stuff, right? I believe in that cool song we sang. It was awesome and it got me emotional, so I prayed a prayer. You're believing in a song. Or I believe, you know, that there's a God out there, and as long as I'm like this faithful dude and I don't do too much sin, I'll be good. I'll go to heaven. A lot of spiritual people nowadays. But what are we believing in? See, that's pretty important. You can't just believe. You can't just be a churchgoer or spiritual or I'm a Republican, so I'm going to heaven type deal. Like, that's not the deal. Believes what? In him. There's a place we're trusting. We're taking all of us and we're laying it in God's hands and saying, I'm yours. Take me, all of me. You can have me. You're my Messiah. Matthew 16, 25, Jesus himself says this. Are you ready? He's going to explain it. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Hang on real tight to that life. Hang on tight to what you want to do and your desires and your fun and your pleasure and that whole deal. And make sure you're good. Jesus looks at you. Here, you made it in the Bible again. If that's you, you'll lose it. The harder you cling to your sin and yourself and feeling good and making yourself about your whole life, you will lose it. The Messiah himself says that to us. But whoever, there's that word whoever again. It's you and me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, that belief isn't just, yeah, I heard the name Jesus. He sounds like a cool dude. I believe in him. That belief is saying, I trust so much that this thing's real, that you are who you say you are, Jesus. I'm giving you my life. I'm taking my life and I'm laying it down at your feet. I'm not holding on because I'll lose it. I'm taking it and I'm giving it to you so I can find life. Because only you can give life. And the end of this verse that we all know so well, should not perish. It's like this ray of light that like springs in the morning when you're just seeing that sunrise and that first little bing comes up. It's like, yes, there it is. There's hope. That's awesome. Should not perish. That we don't have to face eternity and wrath. That hell that we don't like to talk about, right? That punishment of being separated from our God. But have eternal life. And Jesus, who rose from the dead, kicked death's butt for us, says, you can live with me forever. I'm going to give you this life. You could share in it with me. So my question tonight, before we break up, because as you go into your groups, I want to ask you to do something. It's cool for you to sit here and listen to me banter on. That's cool. But I'd rather you go and dig into this verse and chew on it in a real way. Sit in your groups with your life group leaders and ask yourself a legit question. Like seriously to yourself, mean it. Do I truly believe this? This gospel, is it good news to me? Is it news I love to hear? Is it news that gets me excited? Am I truly believing I'm not going to hell because Jesus died and rose again for me? Will you ask each other that? Will you just be honest? Maybe you're never honest and you hate life groups and you go and you sit there and you're just like, yep, okay, are we done yet? Or you just try to sneak out, whatever. Tonight, will you just do it different? If that's you, you just give it a try. Will you go and be honest? Because tonight might be the night that God says, thank you, you were actually honest. Let me do a work in your heart. It changes you forever. But you don't know till you try. Let me pray for us. I'll let you guys break up in your groups. Father, we love you and we thank you that we do have good news. God, thank you for this verse. Jesus Christ, your only Son, you gave him for us so we wouldn't perish, but we'd have eternal life. God, thank you for that. Will you just hear us as we praise you and say thank you and you're awesome. And Lord Jesus, our hearts overflow because you're that good. So we love you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would work in hearts tonight as we dig deeper with our life groups into this verse, that we'd be honest, that your Holy Spirit would be in every group, free them from distraction and people running around and dodgeballs flying and being outside or inside, and just give us a supernatural attention to look into this verse and to be serious with one another and actually ask that question. God, please, you have to do that work in us tonight. We're too distracted as people, Lord. We just are. I pray that souls would be saved tonight because we looked into your word. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.